ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 8, entitled The Character of Bharat Maharaj. Verse number 16. So it's not actually a verse, it's a prose number 16. I will read few words together. So I will not really try to sing because it's very difficult to sing the prose. Verse 10, son. Api bada savai kripana.
Api bada savai kripana.
Ena balako.
Ena balako.
Mrita harini sutoho.
Mrita harini sutoho.
Mama narayasya.
Mama narayasya.
Sakirata mate.
Sakirata mate.
Akrita sukrutasya. Krita Vishrambha Atma Prayatyena Tat Avignayam Sujana Ivaga Vishyati. Word to word translation. Api.
Indeed.
Bata.
Alas.
Saha. The calf. Why? Certainly. Kripanaha.
Agree.
Ena balakaha.
The
dear child. Mrita harini sutaha. The calf of the dead one. Aho. Mama.
Of me.
Anaryasya. The most ill-behaved. Shataha. Of a cheater. Kirata. Or of an uncivilized aborigine. Matehe. Whose mind is that? Akrita sukrutasya.
Who
has no pious activities. Krita vishrambha. Putting all faith. Atma pratyayena. By assuming me to be like himself. Tat aviganayan. Without thinking of all these things. Sujana iva. Like a perfect gentle person. Agamishyati. Will he again return? Translation. Bharata Maharaj would think, alas, the deer is now helpless. I am now very unfortunate and my mind is like a cunning hunter, for it is always filled with cheating propensities and cruelty. The deer has put its faith in me, just as a good man who has a natural interest in good behavior forgets the misbehavior of a cunning friend and put his faith in him. Although I have proved faithless, will this deer return and place its faith in me? Purport by Bharat Maharaj was very noble and exalted, and therefore when the deer was absent from him, he thought himself unworthy to give it protection. Due to his attachment for the animal, he thought that the animal was ennobled and exalted as he himself was. According to the logic of Atmavan Manyate Jagat, everyone thinks of others according to his own position. Therefore, Maharaj Bharata felt that the deer had left him due to his negligence, and that due to the animal's noble heart, it would again return. Om Jnana Tivranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Vrtapakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavasya Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Samitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Shakhanitam Sya He Krishna Karna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Tata Kanchana Gaurangi Rahe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Gatpa Tarubhyasya Kribasinshu Devacha Paditana Pavanidyo Vaishnavidyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Vasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Bhute Mahadhyaya Imapuru Vidhu Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhumte Gunaksho Dasa Shoda Satmaka Solan Krishishtha Bhagavan Vajam Sime Hare Krishna. Here, Bharat Maharaj, being attached to the deer, is going on with his fantasies. So, we can see different aspects of his fantasies. Here, Bharat Maharaj is thinking, deer has left him. And now, this deer is helpless. Who is going to look after the deer? And he is blaming himself that having cunning, cheating. So, a noble friend would give forgiveness to a cheating friend and would return. In the same way, I hope, I pray, that this deer, being very noble, would return to me. See the height of the fantasy. So, there are many verses describing these fantasies of Bharat Maharaj. And of course, when we read this purport, one of the most important points that is being described is the mentality of the living entities. What is that particular mentality? Atmavan manyate jagat. Everyone wants to see this world, and everyone according to their own perceptions, according to their own thoughts, according to their own experiences, according to their own position. So atmavat. Atmavas means one's own position, one's own perception, one's own thoughts. One wants to see the whole world in the same manner. So that is Atmavan Manyate Jagat. So this is a defect of the conditioned living beings. We can see these defects everywhere. So here, Bharat Maharaj is demonstrating that. He's considering, I am noble, so as part of his fantasy, that this deer must also be very noble, and this deer should return to me. Just like as a noble person, I would tolerate and forgive a cheating nature of my friend. Similarly, the deer should also do the same. However, this point of Atmavan Manyate Jagat is a common principle that we can see in this world. We can start seeing from the materialistic people. The general perception is that whatever ignorance that we have, we also want to impose that ignorance on others. That's why if we take up to Krishna consciousness, people may say, you are running away from the realities of life. Why are you going away without suffering? You are meant to suffer in this world. You have to face the realities of this world. Life is meant to be like this. Have you heard all these kind of things? These are all part of life. So, we are pushing ahead the material problems. We will chase material dreams, and that will become the sum and substance of my life. So you should all do the same thing. Why are you going away from these realities? Why are you chanting Hare Krishna? Why are you talking about something above this material body and the mind? Why are you talking about something other than this world? So this is imposition of our own ignorance on others. So indeed, materialists would do that. And when we take up to Krishna consciousness, there will be at least a few people who would propose the same thing. Why are you doing this? You are just pretending. All these people, the devotees, they are just pretending, and why are you getting into it? Come along with us. Let's face the realities together and let's suffer together. Of course, there are some glimpses of enjoyment. We would cherish that. But there are realities of life that are suffering. Let's do it. So that is one aspect of this. And many times others have seen from people from Indian background saying, if you want to be a devotee, if you want to dedicate your life for bhakti, it has to be destined in you. It's all part of the destiny. Some people are meant to be sadhus, brahmacharis. So some people are meant to do that. They will do that. We are normal people. Sit at home and don't worry about all these kind of things. So devotional service is dhoti, kurta, tilak. This is for certain kind of people. It's destined for them, not for us. So don't worry about it. Look at me. Look at your grandfather. Look at your great-grandfather. They made a lot of money for the family. So don't get into these kind of things. This is not in our tradition. So don't just make a difference to it. So imposing one's own conception on others, one's own ignorance on others. And atheists, they specialize on this point. Atmavan Manyate Jagat. We all know that there is no God. Why? Because I have never experienced God. I cannot prove the existence of God. Have you seen God? I haven't seen God. So why do you say that there is God? So I know that no one can experience or no one can prove the existence of God. I know that no one can do that. So how much knowledge he must have to say that I know that no one knows. How can we generalize? So that's how it is. This is imposing our own ignorance on others. So this is very common. Not just atheists. Even the impersonalists, they do the same thing. Have you noticed? Prabhupada brings this point again and again when it comes to the impersonalists. Impersonalists, they deny the form of God. They deny a personality after liberation. They even deny the spiritual world. They deny spiritual emotions. They deny spiritual intelligence. So they deny everything which is connected to a personality. Name, form, qualities and activities. Why do they do that? Because according to their experience, the form, what they have, it is causing restrictions, it is causing bondage, it is giving suffering. And the activities in itself are giving suffering. And so, how is it possible to have spiritual form, spiritual name, spiritual qualities, spiritual activities. Bhagavad Gita says, Krishna says, speaks this point, isn't it? Avyaktam vyaktimavannam manyande mam abhudhaya. The foolish people think that I have now assumed a form and that I was impersonal before. 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Avyaktam vyaktimavannam manyande mam abhudhaya. Where is this philosophy coming from? We can see the root in this. Atman manyate jagat. That is, in my experience it is suffering. In my experience it's not possible. So that must be the truth. This is the arrogance of the conditioned living entities. That is our pride. To a certain degree we do accept. So that is part of conditioning. I want to enjoy. I want to control. Because I am proud. And it is part of that kind of consciousness, we deny the spiritual personalities. We deny existence of Krishna. So we can see, even though this looks like a simple point in this context of Bharat Maharaj, but it has wide range. This mentality has wide range in our existence and in our experience. And for devotees, we can also get into this mood. How it can come to our mind? In many ways. I have tried chanting attentively. I wasn't very successful. So maybe you also take it easy. Just try to do the rounds. Just try to complete the rounds. Make sure that before sleeping you round chant all 16 rounds. And that's about it. At least we are all on the same boat. You know, I am chanting for so many years. I'm not chanting attentively. So it's okay. I'm trying a little bit, but overall it's okay. But you also, that's how it should be. We can generalize. I have been a devotee for 10 years. I haven't read Prabhupada's Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita. I haven't read all these books. So, you know, it's okay. You may also not be able to do that. You may say, take it easy. So we can impose our limitations on others. That can be a problem. Isn't it? Because one may can go faster than us. We make advancement much faster than us. That's what we had to realize when we come to Krishna consciousness. Even if we may give lecture, even if we may preach to some people, if we may speak to some people and they may take up Krishna consciousness, but it doesn't mean that I may be more advanced than a new person. It's just in a matter of time, in a matter of few years, the reality will be revealed. That a person who may come to Krishna consciousness after me, he or she may make much more advancement than myself in a very short time. Why? We had to accept this process is not just running in one lifetime. It is going on for many lifetimes. So, we don't know where they have left their Krishna consciousness in previous lifetimes. So, given that, some people may go very fast. Some people may be more slower. That is okay. The point is, we are all going to make progress. And we can all perfect our lives. The hope is there. Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing again and again, go back home, back to Godhead in one lifetime. So the point is, it is possible for everyone to make advancement. The speed can vary, but everyone is making advancement in Krishna consciousness according to the level of sincerity that we have. So we shouldn't impose our limitations or our anathas on others. So there also we had to be quite careful about this point that Atmaman Manyate Jagat. According to our position, we just don't think that everyone else is on the same position. We had to be quite careful. Even speaking scripturally, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, to some degree, Arjuna was also going through the same problem. Arjuna was seeing that these people around him, their hearts weren't pure. They wanted to annihilate Krishna's devotees, isn't it? Think about that in that perspective, that the Kauravas, they wanted to give such a trouble to the devotees of the Lord, that to pure devotees of the Lord. Indeed, Duryodhana and Pati, they tried beforehand to kill Pandavas, to harm Pandavas in so many different ways. And they were not devotees of Krishna, mostly. They weren't devotees of Krishna on the Kaurava side. And so, Arjuna was thinking, they are all great souls. How can I kill them? How can I attack them? So he forgot the real purpose behind that, to establish the religion. There was the plan of the Supreme Lord. He forgot that momentarily. That is Arjuna's vishada, his worries, that we can see in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And he was thinking, all these people are great devotees. They are all noble people. He was only seeing their position because he was a noble hearted person. Prabhupada explains. He was speaking out of his own compassion. So he is seeing his qualities and he was seeing in others. So here we can see Bharat Maharaj was projecting his own noble character on this deer based on fantasies, not based on realities. So this is the point. So he was doing that completely based on fantasies. So this is the material existence. In material existence, it's all about fantasies. Some people say, why do you dream? Why do you daydream? Come to the reality. But for a materialist, when you see from our perspective, both night dream and daydream are simply dreams. Night people dream so many different things. That's not reality, you know. Even the material activities, they themselves are like dreams. They are not factual because it has nothing to do with the soul and it has nothing to do with Krishna in one sense. Of course, everything is connected to Krishna and it is binding the soul again and again. Still, they are not actually woken up to the realities of life. So, from a materialistic perspective, both reality and fantasies, both are fantasies. Both are dreams. Just like Prabhu said in one of the airports in America, I think it was in America, devotees asked, you know, what do you see here? Then Prabhu said, I see flapping dead bodies. It's a strong statement. Flapping dead bodies. What does that mean? He couldn't see the real life, because the real life means serving Krishna, being in Krishna consciousness. The body is moving. There's no doubt. Similar points are mentioned in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, isn't it? Very strongly by Suta Goswami. He says, if somebody is breathing and is not a devotee, that breathing like the bellows of a, who is that?
Blacksmith.
A blacksmith. You know, just it is pumping, but it's no value. So many examples he gives. Bile vidori vikramanye nashrunnata karna pute narasya jihvasati dardiri kevasuta nachopagaya tirudaya gadha. The ears which are not hearing the glories of Krishna, they are considered to be snake holes, snake pits. How is that? You know, what kind of comparison is given in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam? Strongly criticizing. So even Srila Prabhupada is taking on the same mood sometimes, or many times, to give us, to shake us up, you know, understand the reality. So here, Bharat Maharaj is showing what is it to be like in material illusion. So he is making the point that he was an exalted devotee. He was on the platform of Bhava Bhakti. Bhava Bhakti is not ordinary. It is considered Suryamshu. It is considered Premankura. Suryamshu means a ray of the sun of Prema, the love of Godhead. So one can see Krishna to some degree. One has seen Krishna in Bhava Bhakti. One has realized that I am not the body and the mind. Pretty much. Even from that position, he has fallen down. And it is Premankura, it is the seedling of Prema Bhakti. He has gone up to that level of devotional service. What we perform is Sadhana Bhakti, regulated devotional service. It can be in the Vaidhi or Raganika. It can be according to rules and regulations, or it can be spontaneous. But for the platform of sadhana bhakti. And the sadhya, the aim of the sadhana bhakti is bhava bhakti. So he had actually achieved the perfection of sadhana bhakti. We can see he left the kingdom and then he was pursuing devotional life and he did sadhana and he achieved perfection of that. That is bhava bhakti. And from that platform he fell down. So bhava bhakti, there is bhava. Bhava, another meaning of bhava is emotion, spiritual emotion for the Lord. So it is said, in the bhava bhakti, one's heart is almost becoming so soft. The material existence is hard, is very hard. In sadhana bhakti, it is becoming a bit more softened. But in bhava bhakti, it is like a paste. It's like a semi-liquid. That's the state of the heart in bhava bhakti. And so there are so much of emotions for Krishna. That is bhava bhakti. And in prema bhakti, heart is melted completely. It is like a liquid. So that is prema bhakti. So here in bhava bhakti, Bharata is supposed to have emotions for the Supreme Lord. Complete emotions for the Supreme Lord. But from that platform, he is now attached to a deer. And he's manifesting all these emotions for this deer. Can you see that? From spiritual emotions to the material emotions. So this is certainly very instructive. It's instructive because it is showing how a devotee must be careful in the practice of devotional service. One, Bharata lacked association with the devotees. That is one reason we can say why he fell down. But Jiva Goswami mentions that for a vanaprastha, it's okay not to have association of devotees sometimes because they enter the forest. That is vanaprastha. Vanaprastha means enter the forest. If you go to the forest, you may not have any association of devotees. So it's okay to practice without the association of the devotees. One is meant to have such caliber in devotional service. So he could be criticized for that reason. But Jiva Goswami says that there is another deeper reason. He says that even in that exalted platform, one may have to go through the reactions of past Vaishnava aparathas, one's past offenses to devotees. So the offenses to devotees in traces may go on even up to the level of bhava-bhakti. So here is an example. So Jiva Goswami says one can go, that traces can go even up to that level. So one may even have the reaction for that. So Bharata Maharaj is manifesting that, and at the same time, even one may fall down, still one is completely under the protection of Krishna. So this is a very important point. So one may say, yes, the traces of Vaishnava aparadha, offenses to devotees can go all the way up to the bhava bhakti. So where is Krishna's protection? Is Krishna so cruel? No. Krishna is so merciful that he protects. So I will explain that further. After going through some of the very important points which are relevant for us from here. So here, let's see. Bharat Maharaj is manifesting his material attachment, his material emotions, right? So in spiritual life, we have, or not in spiritual life, let's see, as sadhakas who is trying to come to spiritual life, initially we have material desires and material emotions, right? If we have attachment, then there is emotion. Well, how does the emotion come? If we have attachment, some attachment for something, there will be emotion. Right? If I don't know someone living in, you know, maybe in a few streets ahead, somebody is living there, I don't have any emotions for such a person, isn't it? I don't, you know, you don't have any emotions for somebody who you don't know. Because if there is attachment, there will be emotions. It can be good, bad, in between, whatever degree. But if there is attachment, there is emotion. Now, in the material life, initially we have material desires, we have material attachment and we have material emotions. And when we come to Krishna consciousness, initially we are given spiritual intelligence to cut those material desires and material emotions. And also, if we have material desires and material emotions, that in itself will not fulfill us. I want a big car or a big house or this or that, assume, or I want a big position. That material desire in itself will not fulfill. One needs intelligence to fulfill that desire, isn't it? One needs intelligence in one, then work on some aspect and one may get it or may not get it. That is depending on our karma. Let's see. But still, one has to endeavor based on intelligence. So there are material emotions and desires, and one needs material intelligence to fulfill that. So when we come to Krishna consciousness, initially the philosophy is given, because philosophy is going to give us spiritual intelligence that can counteract material intelligence, just mundane material intelligence, which is based on fulfilling material desires. So the philosophy is so important. That's why Bhagavad Gita has a lot of philosophy, and that helps us to understand the temporary nature of this world and how one cannot be satisfied in this world. And Rupa says, he gives a very interesting definition for material desires. You know, this is a very profound definition of material desire. He said, material desire is that which cannot be satisfied, that which cannot be fulfilled. Hey, please think about this point. Rupa's definition of material desires. Very simple but very profound. That which cannot be fulfilled. That is material desires. So, when we hear all these things, then we understand, okay, our spiritual intelligence develops, slowly awakens. That helps us. That helps us. Then we can control our material desires. Not only that, with that spiritual intelligence, we know that we have to engage our senses in Krishna's service. We understand we have to chant Krishna's names. So, initially we engage in all these activities based on knowledge, based on intelligence, based on philosophy. Not necessarily based on taste. Of course, even without intelligence, we may have taste for prasadam, which is good. If somebody doesn't have taste for prasadam, it's hopeless. Correct? You know, I have seen some people come for the programs and they don't like prasadam because they are so much used to junk food and also drugs, and their palate has changed. They cannot taste prasadam. Think about the sad situation. It generally, anyone can appreciate at least prasadam, especially in this temple. We have so many varieties of prasadam, Krishna's mercy. So, at least people can appreciate prasadam. So that is a direct experience. Even, some people cannot even appreciate deities because they see it as dolls, so it's different. But at least prasadam, when it comes to prasadam, there are no arguments, people can appreciate. But otherwise, we need intelligence for our practices, for chanting, for doing devotion service. So that helps. And of course, sometimes the nice behavior of devotees, that's also very attractive. So that is attractive for new people, where they think, you know, such, you know, devotees are such nice people. Very important for preaching. How we act, that is an important preaching, how we act and how we speak. So, from material emotions, material intelligence, we are coming to the platform of spiritual intelligence. And when this spiritual intelligence kicks in, we can practice steadily. We will be able to get up in the morning. We come and we chant Hare Krishna Mantra. We attend Guru Puja. We hear Srimad Bhagavatam. We have prasadam. We associate with the devotees. We engage in service. Because now there is some spiritual intelligence. So when I talk about spiritual intelligence, one nice verse comes to my mind by Yamunacharya, quoted in Sanatana Shiksha in Chaitanya Charitamrita, very important section, where he quotes, Krishna Kaviraj Goswami quotes this verse saying, Kamadinam Katita Katita Palita Dundesha. Kamadina Katina Katita. I don't know how many trillions of material desires that I have tried to fulfill. I try to fulfill all my senses in all different ways. Kathina Kathita, I don't know. So many material desires I have tried to fulfill, and so many material senses in so many species that I have tried to fulfill. Palita, I have obediently obeyed. I have obediently followed all my senses demands and all my mind's demands. But my senses and mind are like bosses who have no mercy. If you try to serve a boss, you keep doing whatever the boss is telling, but you don't get rewarded. Think about that. Do you want to serve such a boss? You know, you're never satisfied. No appreciation whatsoever. Kamadina katina katita palita durnidesha. Durnidesha. He says it's not a good advice, durnidesha, bad advices. Tesham jata na karina na trapa no pashanti. And this boss has no karuna, no mercy, no tolerance. If I don't eat one time, my belly is going to tell, give me food. If there is no sense gratification, the senses are demanding, give me, give me, give me. No tolerance. He's talking about our own senses. No upashadi, never satisfied. And then he says, go to Krishna and tell this. Utsrijya etan, adha yetupate, adha. Now, utsrijya etan, I'm going to give up this. Why? Sampratam labdha buddhi. Now I have got some intelligence. So this is the position of a devotee, and he had to practice this. When the senses and mind are demanding, then he had to say, please Krishna, help me. Have satisfied these senses and mind so many lifetimes, and they never got satisfied. They are bringing the same thing again and again. Can you see? If you go to the core of our desires, it's the same thing again and again. That's how Maya works. Same thing. Maya doesn't have to bring new things. Whatever kind of attachment, the same thing it will bring in again. And we think, actually this time I will do it. Just one more time. This one more time is going for millions of lifetimes. So now it will link Sampradam Labdha Buddhi. Utsrijya, I am giving up. And he says, Tvam Ayata Sharanam Abhema Niksha Atmadasi. Tvam Ayata Sharanam. I am coming to your shelter. Oh Krishna, I am coming to your shelter now. Atmadasya, oh kindly Krishna, engage me in your service. So this is the mood of a devotee. So that's where, when one acts on the platform of spiritual intelligence. So we have to study Shastra because we need some spiritual intelligence. When the mind is speaking, we need our spiritual intelligence to counteract. If that doesn't happen, we will follow our mind. And we are in trouble. So again, material desires, material attachments, material emotions, and here's this material intelligence to fulfill those desires. So step one, spiritual intelligence. Step two, so that's what we are all looking for, right? Step two is how to come to the platform of spiritual emotions. At least for certain things, we will have spiritual emotions, as I mentioned earlier. We'll have spiritual emotion for prasadam. This is nice prasadam, we are attracted. Nice feast. Who doesn't want a good feast? We are for it, right? We'll do anything for that gulab jamun. Or it's a pizza party. You know, it doesn't matter where, what, you know, we go for it. And there is a joke, you know, in a Hare Krishna temple, if you leave a gold or golden ornament, you will get it. Somebody will, Prabhu, I found this necklace or this, you need to take it. Or a ring, okay, it's taken. But if you leave a good plate of prasadam, it will disappear. You will not get it. Even gold you can get, even jewels you can get, but prasadam you will not get. That is spontaneous attraction. Spontaneous attraction. In the previous verse, purport, last verse, yesterday's verse, purport, talks about spontaneous attraction. Rupa Goswami quotes this verse. Yuvatinam yatha yunamcha yunamcha yuvatavarata mano abhyamate tatvam mano me ramatam toyi. Just like the young men have attraction for young women, similarly young women have spontaneous and natural attraction for young men. Similarly, oh my Lord, my mind be naturally attracted to you. So this is what we are looking for. We want some attraction for Krishna. So we know even in Krishna consciousness some natural attractions. Sometimes nice dancing kirtans. We have attraction for that, right? So we have attraction for that. And beautifully dressed deities of the Lord. It's a big preaching because we get attracted to the beautiful form of the Lord. So Panchanga Bhakti can give us that attraction. So the Panchanga Bhakti in turn can give us spiritual emotions, starting slowly. So one will become emotional for sure. If one is thinking, I don't have any emotions. But bhakti is such that everyone will become emotional for Krishna. Even for service, one will become attached to service while one is doing. If one's service is taken away, one becomes sometimes emotional. So that attraction, that emotion is there in Krishna consciousness. So even for a sadhaka, to some degree, there will be some emotion for Krishna. So Jiva Goswami makes the point that the greatness of bhakti is that even for a beginner, he can see what is the end. At least he can see what is the end. Through other devotees, through Shastra, one can see how devotees are attracted to Krishna. Can you see? Even a beginner, this Brahman realization, even beginner or more advanced, they don't know what it is about. I remember as a young seeker, I was not a devotee, I was a young seeker in India. I was in my teens, I was reading all these books, Upanishads and this and that, and I was trying to understand what is Brahman. And I wanted to know what is it like merging in Brahman. So first of all, I couldn't understand what is Brahman. Then second, the perfection of that is, what is it like merging into Brahman? So all these books were from my dad's library, so I asked my dad, what is it like? Can you please explain to me what is it like, you know, merging into Brahman? I have seen this Brahmananda, I have read all this, but I cannot understand. So I am a seeker, and you know, I am trying to understand. And he told quite a few things, and I couldn't understand anything. But I understood that he also couldn't understand. At least that much I could understand. That this is something weird, you know. Even Mandu is explaining, he's quoting different things, but not coming to the point. So that is the difference between impersonal path and personal path. Even from the beginning we can understand what the great devotees in Vrindavan, what are they doing, we can see, we can hear. At least we get a glimpse. Of course we cannot realize straight away, but we get a glimpse that people are attracted to Krishna. Say we understand, I don't have any taste for chanting, but Rupa Goswami is praying, you know, Tunde Tandavani Gatim Vidvinade Tundavani Dabhe. At least I can understand. Rupa Goswami is praying that I only have one tongue and 2 ears to hear. Let me have, you know, millions of tongues to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and let me have millions of ears to hear. At least you can understand, okay, there is some person that taste for chanting. And here we people, Haridas Thakur is chanting, you know, 192 rounds. Practically we calculate, okay, 24 hours, Haridas Thakur is chanting, okay, at least you can understand what is it like to be in a perfected situation. I think anyone can understand. Whatever we are doing, we may not have taste, but what is it like to have taste in Krishna consciousness? So that is the glory of bhakti. So for that, one need to hear about Krishna. One need to get attached to the Panchanga Bhakti. One is the association of the devotees, chanting Hare Krishna Mantra, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, then worshipping the deities of the Lord. So we are worshipping the deities by seeing them. Don't think that only pujaris can worship the deities of the Lord. Of course, pujaris can do. If you make garland, that is worshipping the deity. If you take darshan and accepting charanamrita, that is worshipping the deities. So it is so important that we get engaged in deity worship. Just by seeing them, it removes so many anarthas from our heart. So many material impressions that we had for one lifetime and for so many lifetimes. So important to see the beautiful form of the Lord. And it is mentioned that if you meditate on the eyebrows of Krishna, that is going to extinguish the fire of lust which is burning in our heart. So we can see the Lord is mercifully standing and is helping us to progress in bhakti, and is giving us taste for bhakti. So from that, and finally staying in the holy places. For now, temple is a holy place, come here. And also specifically staying in the holy places means going to dhams like Vrindavan, Mayapur, where there are places of pilgrimage of the Lord. So all this Panchanga Bhakti are important for us to make progress in Krishna consciousness. Now, I will recite a verse about Krishna. Because Bhagavatam is full of Krishna. Bhagavatam is Krishna. It's a literary incarnation of Krishna. And Bhagavatam is giving us taste for Krishna. There's a very interesting instance that I want to narrate. A very simple one. From the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is all about Krishna. It is the ashraya, it is a shelter, it is some born of entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Given that, at the end of 9th canto has 24 chapters, and the last chapter is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in that there are 67 verses, and the 65th verse is very interesting. 65th verse is very interesting, some of you may know. 65th verse is very interesting because it is an appetizer for the 10th canto. So Shukadeva Goswami is going to introduce Krishna and his pastimes in detail in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he is appetizer, he is giving some appetizer to Maharaj Parikshit. How is that? You know, sometimes we have, you know, apple gin, you know, as an appetizer. Or sometimes if you go to some restaurants, you might have gone, now you don't go, you know. But I'm saying, there is, you know, sometimes, you know, masala papadam or this or that they'll give to, as an appetizer. Similarly, Shukadeva Goswami is giving this appetizer to Maharaj Parikshit because he's going to begin the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam just after 2 verses. So it's been many days without eating, without drinking, without sleeping. Maharaj Parikshit is listening to Srimad Bhagavatam with rapt attention. And now he's giving this appetizer to be more attentive to hear about Krishna. So I'll read that verse. Yasyananam makara kundala charu karna Bhrajakka pola subhagam savilasa asam Nityotsavam natatrubu drishibhik pipantyo Naryo narascha mudita kupita nimescha. It's a beautiful meditation on Krishna. Specifically Krishna's face. Why that verse is given? Because Srimad Bhagavatam is going to enter into the face of Krishna, the smiling face of Krishna. That is the intent of Srimad Bhagavatam. So as a precursor, Shukadeva Goswami is narrating this verse about Yasya Ananam. Yasya means whose. Ananam, face. His face is decorated with Makara Kundala. Makara Kundala. What is the meaning of Makara Kundala? You should know. All of you may know. What is Makara Kundala? Exactly. It is decorated with sharp shaped earrings. Where else do we hear about Makara Kundala? In Damodarashtagam, right? Makara Kundala. His earrings are so beautiful. Makara Kundala Charu Karna. Karna, you know Karna, right? Karna means the ears of Charu. Charu means very beautiful. We don't usually say that your ears are very beautiful. Huh. Even may have our romantic period. But still, we don't say that, you know. Your ears are looking very beautiful. Have you ever said that? Probably you may not have said that point, you know. But here when you talk about Krishna, Yasyananam Makara Kundala Charu Karna. So even ears are so beautiful. Bhrajak Kapala Subhagam. His decorated forehead. Kapala means the forehead. His decorated forehead is full of opulence. So try to understand Krishna. Each and every limb is so attractive. Such a wonderful meditation. So Bhrajak Kapala Subhagam. Bhrajak means decorated. Kapala means the forehead. Subhagam, it is full of opulence. Then he gets to the point. What is that? That is a smiling face. Savilasa hasam. See how beautifully, how rhymingly Srimad Bhagavatam is presenting the smile of Krishna. Savilasa hasam. Hasam means smile. Savilasa. Savilasa means It is the most enjoyable, enjoying smile of Krishna. If you are getting attracted to the smiling face of this material world, please try to look at the smiling face of Krishna. Because the smiling face of the material world is cheating. That smile will not last very long. But Krishna's smile will last forever. Okay? So, Savilasa Hasam. Nityotsavam. So, one may think, will I get bored with Krishna's smile and Krishna's face? No. Nityotsavam. Nityotsavam means it's an eternal festival. Krishna's face is an eternal festival for his devotees. It's an eternal festival. Can you think about, we know the enthusiasm for a festival, right? If there is a Janmashtami, if there is a Radhashtami, you know, we fast. But still we are happy to chant and dance and do service. Devotees are begging for service. Can we get some service? That is Nityotsavam. So Krishna's face is like a festival for the devotee. Nityotsavam, then Shukadeva Goswami makes this point that na tatrupu, na tatrupu. One will never get satiated by seeing Krishna's form, Krishna's face. Rather, to opposite to that, he says, drishibhi pibantyo. Drishibhi means with the eyes. Pibantyo, one is drinking the beauty of Krishna. Drishibhi pibantyo. Then he says, Krishna, one may think he is a male. Right? Of course, he is the Adi Purusha. He is the ultimate male. He is the original male. But he says, it's not that women get attracted to Krishna. Please don't misconstrue it that way. Naryo narascha mutitaha. Naryo means the woman and nara means man. Both men and women are attracted to Krishna. In Vrindavan or his devotees, all of them are attracted to Krishna. If you read 10 candles of Srimad Bhagavatam, you can see it's not just that men and women are attracted to Krishna, but the animals are attracted to Krishna. The trees are attracted to Krishna. Even the demigods are attracted to Krishna. Everyone is attracted to Krishna. Even the flowing river is attracted to Krishna. Such that here in Krishna's flute, the river, the Yamuna river cannot flow. Rather, it is making a whirlpool. It's making a whirlpool because it cannot flow. It is also stunned, and for river to be stunned is creating a whirlpool, and it is offering its lotus flower to the feet of Krishna. So everyone is attracted to Krishna. So not just Naryo, Narascha Muditaha. They are so happy seeing Krishna, they are in ecstasy seeing Krishna. But at the same time, Kupita. See, they are Mudita, but at the same time they are Kupita. What is Kupita means? Very angry. So all these devotees in Vrindavan, they are very happy, they are blissful, they are in ecstasy, but at the same time they are very angry. Why are they angry? Kupita Nimeshcha. They are very angry about Brahma, Lord Brahma, the creator, for creating eyelids for the eyes. Because Brahma has created the eyelids for the eyes, they cannot see Krishna momentarily. Because eyelids have to close. So they are criticizing Krishna. What kind of creator are you? You cannot create anything perfectly. So in Gopikita also, gopis, they make the same point. Jada udiratam prakshmakritrasam. Jada, the creator, he's a jada, he's a dull-headed person. He's talking about Brahma. They are talking about Brahma. He's dull-headed because they prakshmakrit, the eyelids, he hasn't done a good job criticizing. So that is the attraction of devotees of Krishna. And now, coming back to this pastime. So, does Krishna protect such devotee as Bharat Maharaj? Indeed, he will. So, what Krishna is doing in this? Krishna wanted to purify Bharat Maharaj, and he didn't want Bharat Maharaj to go on a prolonged life. Can you see that? He didn't want Bharat Maharaj, of course, he left his palace when he was young and strong. He left his wife, kingdom, riches, everything he left. And he engaged in devotional service and he reached almost perfection in a short time. So indeed, he has to go through a long lifetime before reaching Krishna. And Krishna was eager to get him. And at the same time, he wanted to give some token reaction for his offense. And so, he thought, okay, let him go through this lifetime. And probably he may have to go through many other lifetimes before getting to Prema, but I want him as soon as possible. So, he made the arrangement so that he got attracted to the deer, he got the deer birth. But then itself, he was perfect. He perfected the life in the deer birth. He had no contamination in the deer birth because he was only thinking about Krishna and he was associating with devotees and hearing Bhagavatam about Krishna. And then end of the deer's life, he was a perfect devotee. He was already on the Prema Bhakti. Even in the Jadabharat body, he was a Prema Bhakta. Because if you read Bhagavatam, you can hear at this point that deer was thinking about Krishna when the deer was leaving this world. It's not ordinary. So he was a pure devotee as Jada Bharat. And that's why he acted as Jada. He said, you know, I have nothing to do with this world. He acted dull and dumb and deaf and he didn't want to do anything with this world. He just wanted Krishna and that's all. So Krishna protects and he is eager to get a living entity back to himself more than the devotee or a living entity himself or herself. So that's the eagerness of Krishna. So we can see that in this pastime. So Krishna is very merciful and eagerly waiting for his devotees. So in conclusion, you know, we discussed about Atmavat Manyate Jagat, how we impose our own limitations and positions on others. Second, we also discussed about the fantasies of Bharat Maharaj and we saw that there are material desires and emotions which is supported by material intelligence which has been converted by spiritual intelligence to spiritual emotions. And for that, we had to perform Panchanga Bhakti. And in this pastime, Krishna is eagerly waiting for his devotee to come to him. With this, I stop. Is there any questions or comments? Hare Krishna.
My question is there any difference?
We have a mic or no?
So is there any difference between the affection and the attachment? I want to know the difference between the affection and the attachment. Mm. So I have heard in few lectures that we should have an affection for the kids but not the attachment. But ultimately that will lead to attachment if you think of that.
Yeah, I'll repeat the question. Question is, how can we place our affection and attachment in our life? Because we say we need to have affection. Not only for kids, we need affection for devotees also. It is very important to have affectionate relationship between the devotees, isn't it? Otherwise, it's a real problem. Of course, because of our conditioning, we may act otherwise. Still, we need to understand, we need affectionate relationships. So, certainly, to kids we had to be affectionate. And it's a very natural position to be affectionate. Now, specifically speaking about kids, even on a material platform, if one is affectionate and one is just attached, that can lead to problems. So not only, not just for devotees, for anyone, just attachment to one's own kids can create problem. What is the classic example from scriptures? No. A very, very famous example. One who is just attached to the child. Dhritarashtra. Very good. Full marks. Dhritarashtra. You see? Dhritarashtra was so attached. Okay, he had affection. It's natural. It was natural to have an affection for the father. But that affection was there, but it led to attachment on a material platform. Okay, forget about spiritual things. It led to an attachment so that he couldn't correct, he couldn't discipline his son. If the affection, if properly placed, then that affection can be used to correct one's own child and to direct to the right path. Dhritarashtra couldn't do that. This is a material example. At that point, he was not a devotee. So, even on a material platform, one has to see, one has to understand what is real affection and what is attachment. If it is just attachment, you know, whatever he or she does, I will tolerate. That is attachment. We can see many parents in this world are on that platform. Whatever he or she likes, my kid, whatever he wants to do. If he is happy, it's fine. This is simply attachment. In one sense, we can say attachment. In other sense, we can say they don't care. Do you really think they don't care? That is another reality. They are attached to their own body and they don't want to be bothered with everything. You know. So, but at least if you consider the good sense, still that attachment can lead to problem. Then, for devotees, we see that we have affection and we need affection to look after. And in the affection, we see Krishna is also part of our affection. So it's not that just my child and myself, but Krishna is also part of the equation. So there is no two-way relationship. There is no relationship between two people. There is always a triangular relationship. So why this triangular relationship is important when we are taking care of children, it may not be such a problem now, but when time comes, they choose their path. We have joined this bond because of our own consciousness, because of our own free will. It was our choice. As I have, you know, another devotee is making this point that the kids haven't, devotees haven't joined this bond yet. So they have to join this bond. So that time, we cannot impose. You know, we are attached, but we cannot do. We have to give them independence. It is their choice. We give all the right circumstances and they are living their life. But at the same time, out of affection, we can cut it. We can give the right path. But at the same time, we cannot just be attached in a devotee fashion. That he or she must become devotee, must chant 16 rounds. So we like to give that freedom also. So it's all part of parenting. So one has to see how it works. It's not a black and white area, it's a grey area. So there is no fine line. There is fine line, but one has to, that fine line moves all the time, so one has to figure it out. So that's what usually we say. One should be attached. It's not about affection. So we shouldn't impede in their spiritual progress. And I have seen even devotee parents becoming so inimical towards temple management because their son joined the temple. Became a brahmachari. You know, what are you doing, you guys, what are you doing, you know? So that is attachment. It's not really affection, you know. It's coming to the platform of attachment. So one has to be quite careful. So it varies in many, many circumstances. Well, I'm just showing the general point. Is that clear? Yeah. Yes, sir.
Is our free will...
Can you give the microphone, please?
Is our view God's view too, free will, or free will is God's will?
No, it is because of God's will. Our free will is because of God's will, otherwise we will not have free will. So it is because of God's will, but our free will is not His will. Whatever we decide, it's not will of the Lord.
It's not our own view.
Yeah, it is our free will. So we are making choices. So we need to have sufficient knowledge and guidance so that we can make the right choices. That's why we are responsible. Otherwise, you know, if everything is imposed on us, then why we are blamed for? Hare Krishna Guru.
Hare Krishna Guru. Sir, wonderful class, Prabhu. But just a comment on attachment. Mm. To understand that concept, one can think of a Siamese twin. I'm sure everyone knows what a Siamese twin is. The twins born joined conjoined at the time of birth. So that's the attachment in the material world. In that you find that one twin is crying, the other twin is also crying. One twin is having pain, the other twin is also having pain. One twin goes through emotions, the other twin also goes through emotions. So similarly, when we are attached, we go through the same pain and emotions and negative vibrations of the other person. And therefore, one should be showering affection but not be attached. To give an example, if my child is having some health problem, I become attached, and therefore I may not be able to serve, or I may not be able to take appropriate action. Whereas my neighbor's child is having the same health problem, but because I'm affectionate, I can take appropriate action and see that the child becomes better. There I don't have any attachment. And when the example of doctors, a doctor does not treat himself because a doctor does not treat his own child because of the attachment. He may fumble in the treatment. Thank you.
Thank you. I did a good comment. Nice. Thanks for that. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
These two questions. It's reflecting on Arunavanandi Jagat as a natural propensity of identity that goes in a different stage of evolving process. Can we also experience that or see that tendency in real souls, like for example,
can you just pull that down and say,
Can you hear what I'm saying?
Not becoming clear, sorry.
So, about it's a reflection of Arunavanandi Jagat as a tendency of the living entity in general, not just conditional souls. And it can be gradually evolving according to the level of consciousness. And we can see in the advanced devotees, pure devotees, when they see everybody as advanced and they are very low. So it's a reflection or projection. In psychology we call it projection or transference. And so they see everybody as advanced. So how we can also acknowledge that way, because in one sense, for them, in order to have a clear vision of reality, they have to come down to Madhyama stage, so in a way that we can distinguish. It's that.
Yeah, it is perfectly right. I agree with that. Pure devotees, Uttama Adhikari, he sees everyone as a pure devotee, everyone is a pure devotee. So, yes, in one sense, it is out of their prema for the Lord. They are seeing Krishna everywhere and everyone is serving Krishna. Yes, and in that mood, we cannot preach or we cannot conduct ourselves in a normal circumstances. So naturally, we act on Madhyama platform. That's right.
And the second question is related to, you were mentioning about
Arunavanandi
Jagat and material emotions and spiritual emotions. I was also analyzing about it. It's the emotions, they are material or spiritual, or the object, they are the source of eliciting the emotions or the reservoir of the emotions. Because the emotions that the advanced or pure devotees are expressing are in one sense similar to the person who is in conditional state, but the difference is the object of the emotions. So, I was reflecting about that, and also at the same time, if we are considering ourselves the source of those emotions, always Krishna the source of that in a way. So now we can say the emotions are a spiritual material based in the nature of the object.
Which is right. When you see from just as emotion in itself, material and spiritual emotion can look alike, but as you rightly pointed out, the object is different. So when the object is spiritual, we call it as spiritual emotion, and if the object is material, we call it as material emotion. But we need to distinguish between these two. Just like we often say we spiritualize, say, in a bhoga, one is without offering, it is just bhoga, it's not prasadam, and one then we spiritualize it. Similarly, to have some emotions at the state of the mind, or the thought, thinking, feeling, it is a state of the mind, it exists anyway. When it is connected to Krishna, we call it a spiritualized mind, or spiritualized emotions, or spiritualized body. Even the body is considered pure for a pure devotee, even the material body is considered pure, because it is always serving Krishna. So in that way, we acknowledge the fact that it is connected to that spiritual object, who is Krishna. So in that way, we can call it a spiritual emotion, rather than just calling it emotion, then it will be difficult in terms of terminology. Yes.
If you allow me a small comment also, complementing a bit of the comment about attachment in the sense of basing the self-identification, for example, the kids are the expansion of myself.
Yes.
In that way, for example, that if the analogy of Prabhu, Sri Krishna Prabhu, if the mother is crying because the kid is crying, in one sense the attachment is based on my expansion and in the
yes.
is a conditioning.
That's right. That is
extended.
Extension, yeah. The attachment because of its mind. Aham mameti. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jai.